What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603. For complete details. The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play! Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Gosh, I hate Jamie. Welcome to the show. Jamie's laughing at me. We haven't even started. Jamie's laughing at me. Welcome, everybody. It's Fantasy Football Today. It's Thursday. We got two games to talk about. We got some DFS lineups and the top six tight ends in 2023. I found that to be a pretty difficult task to rank the top six. I don't know if anybody feels the same way. Wide receiver was a piece of cake. Quarterback was fun. Running back was kind of fun and sort of easy. Tight end was tough. Tight end was tough. Anyone feeling that?
Well, one was easy.
One and two were easy. You can't.
Is two easy?
Yeah, two's easy.
Is it?
Everybody has Andrews, right? Who else would it be?
Everybody has Andrews. Well, I don't know if it's easy.
Who else would it be?
I mean, Hockenson was pretty amazing with the Vikings.
Yeah, against the Giants, sure.
Dallas Goedert was great when he was healthy.
That's gonna be Andrews.
Kittle was pretty amazing with Purdy.
See, this is tough. This is tough stuff right here.
So I had the top. Yeah, I think six is hard. I think if you were doing a top four, it would be easy. But like determining which of the next three or four guys get to be six is difficult.
I hate my number three tight end. Hate it. Who's the number three for you?
Hockenson.
Hockenson.
Yeah, I went with Goddard.
Why do you hate it?
Because it breaks the rule. Like you got to be top two on your team in targets to be a top five tight end, except for two of the tight ends who did it this year. But he's not going to be that. But he's just so good.
Know?
He's not going to be that. Unless
he's not going to be second?
No. He's not going to out-target Brown or Smith. It's not going to happen.
Oh, I was thinking Hockenson. Sorry. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, he's not going to.
But there were two tight ends who finished in the top six in PPR this year that were not one or two on their team in targets. That was George Kittle and Evan Ingram. They were both top six tight ends. Kittle was number three. Ingram was number five overall. And they were both third on their team in targets. So rules are meant to be broken. Let's talk about tight ends in just a little bit. Let's start with our picks and predictions for the weekend. Heath, what do you think? Are the Chiefs going to win? Let's predict the games. Let's start with the AFC.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs are going to win. I don't want to bet against Patrick Mahomes, especially when everyone's doubting him and talking about how Joe Burrow's beat him three times in a row and someone called it Burrowhead. I think the Chiefs, it's an outstanding, like, I don't know which Bengals player that was, but that's an outstanding turn of phrase. I think the Chiefs win 31-27.
Okay, they are now one-point favorites. They were one-point underdogs. Jamie, who do you like in that game?
I like the Bengals. I do think that, you know, Mahomes not at 100% is a little concerning. You know, so this is clearly not the best case scenario, but it's the best case of the scenario. You know, the fact that he's been able to get through some semblance of practice and doesn't appear to be severely limited by this ankle, at least as of now. But I think if he's not 100%, you know, he's the difference maker. And if he's not going to be the difference maker, the Bengals, I think, have, aside from Kelsey, almost an advantage everywhere else.
Not offensive line.
Not offensive line, but you know, if for whatever reason Jonah Williams and Karras play, it's closer.
That's, I mean, a huge strength for the Chiefs, though. And
but you would have said that last year too, right?
I mean, I'm picking the Bengals, so you don't have to convince me too much. I'm concerned about Mahomes. He did not throw a single pass outside the pocket after his ankle injury last week, and he led the NFL in pass attempts outside the pocket during the regular season. So obviously last week he was not himself. They keep saying, you know, very optimistic things, but a high ankle sprain to come back that quickly and be yourself. I don't think he's going to have the mobility.
I was shocked he was jogging at practice yesterday. Like I didn't expect him to practice yesterday. I didn't expect him to practice today. I thought maybe he'd get a limited practice on Friday. I always thought he would play, but and this could be wrong, but I would just think if you had a concern about how good his ankle is going to be on Sunday, you would not let him jog at practice on Wednesday.
Maybe. I think I would probably pick the Bengals anyway. I just feel like they've been underrated. They are underrated, but, you know, I felt really confident in them last week. I don't feel quite as confident this week in Burrowhead.
I don't think they're underrated anymore.
Probably not, but I think they were up until Sunday. They were.
It's underrated. It's interesting. Like, why? What is it about them that makes them so much better in the playoffs than the regular season?
Well, they've been really good, right? So they got off to a slow start and they lost three games or something on a last second field goal. I'm doing this off the top of my head. I don't know, but I feel like they got off to a bad start record wise, but they had some bad luck and they've probably been just pretty awesome since then. But what is it? Burrow never turns the ball over. That's huge. I don't know, man. Their defense 2 years in a row just has gotten better, but the Chiefs too. Look at how good the Chiefs defense was last week. And now I kind of poo-pooed it last week, but they did it again, and they're doing that same thing where they get better as the season goes on. Might be lower scoring game. What's the total here? That would be 47. Might be a low scoring game.
I hope Mahomes is close to 100%. I mean, clearly he's not going to be 100%, but you know, it would be a shame to be robbed of these two teams at their best.
Yeah.
You know, going head to head. And obviously the Bengals offensive line is not going to be 100%, so they have that issue to deal with, but I mean, you know, you knew you were going to get two titanic matchups because of Cincinnati, Buffalo facing in the divisional round, and then Kansas City, if they got by, getting one of those two teams. And so last week's game was disappointing because the Bills, you know, played the way they did. And we'll see if this game can hopefully live up to hype.
All right, let's talk about the NFC game. It's actually the earlier game, 3 o'clock on Sunday, 49ers at Eagles. Eagles are 2.5-point favorites. The total is 46. Heath, you took the Chiefs. Who are you taking in the NFC?
I will take the Eagles. I'm just going to keep betting against Brock Purdy until he wins the Super Bowl. I'll say that one's going to be 27-17 Eagles.
Okay, so they're winning and covering. Jamie, how about you?
I'll take the Eagles as well. I think just being at home is a big advantage for them. I agree with Heath. It just feels like at some point Purdy's going to lose. But, you know, you made the case, you weren't on the show, Heath, yesterday. Adam said the Eagles are the greatest team of all time.
he actually said that on Monday.
I didn't say that ever, but I do think they're a tremendous team, and they win in cover. But
I do think that they win in cover as well.
Yeah, the Hurts thing is interesting because, like I said, I don't think he looked 100% running the ball. He seemed very hesitant when he was running the ball, shying away from contact. Just didn't seem like himself in that regard. Obviously, he was good enough throwing the ball last week. This is going to be a different beast for sure. And then you got the injuries to McCaffrey and Mitchell and Deebo Samuel. They'll probably all play, but they're not 100% healthy. So we're all taking the Eagles to win in cover. Two Bengals picks. Heath is sticking with his Chiefs. And we'll give you some DFS stuff a little bit later. We also have a DFS podcast. The episode's in this feed. It drops on Thursdays. So I actually listened to last week's episode. They do a great job. And one thing they said was, if you want to do some DFS, don't be afraid to do some cash games. So, you know, we talk about tournaments all the time, but cash games can be very profitable as well, and you can use your cash games to bankroll your tournaments. We have a Facebook group if you want to join the discussion and talk with other fantasy football players. Just go to Facebook, search for Fantasy Football Today. The link is in the episode description, and it's really, it's a lot of fun. Throughout the season, you'll get some start sit advice, some trade advice, those types of things, and just be in the community with other listeners and viewers and people who just love fantasy football. Here are your news and notes. We have a new offensive coordinator to tell you about that in a moment. But as I mentioned, Christian McCaffrey, Elijah Mitchell, and Deebo Samuel all dealing with injuries. And we hope that they are healthy. For McCaffrey, it's a calf injury, and he could not finish the game last week. Cincinnati offensive linemen Jonah Williams and Alex Kappa miss practice. Seattle wants to re-sign Geno Smith. And the big news, Jamie, the Jets are hiring Nathaniel Hackett as their offensive coordinator.
I did like that Adam Schefter, when he tweeted it out, he said, fodder for New York sports radio for the next several weeks.
Yeah,
it's going to be debated. I have one of my cousins is a big Jets fan, and I was with him this weekend in Houston. And the one thing he would say is like, don't hire Hackett. Please don't hire Hackett. I don't want to see Hackett on the coaching staff. And that's what they did. You want to connect the dots. Aaron Rodgers is being rumored to an AFC team, and this probably is only going to make that rumor more pressing. So we'll see if that's the next domino that falls, if they make the move to go get Rodgers, which, you know, I guess can make sense given the Jets roster and their potential to be a competitive team right away. So I don't think you should judge Hackett based on his Broncos experience for what he did for, you know, the Packers, or how he helped the Packers offense and what he was doing for, you know, Rodgers as a quarterback guy. You know, he wasn't the full-time play caller clearly in Green Bay. So that's something to take into account. I don't think you can, at least I hope, you can mess up Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson when they're healthy. So it's just a matter of, if they get the right quarterback in place, I think things will be okay.
Well, can you mess up Russell Wilson and Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy and Javonte Williams?
Yeah, I don't think he messed up Jerry Jeudy.
As the head coach, you probably can. As the play caller, I hope not.
Well,
there's a lot of guys who have been not very good head coaches who were very good coordinators and went back to being good coordinators after they were not very good head coaches.
But he never called plays.
Right.
That's the difference. And as soon as he started calling plays in Denver, you know, it didn't go well. And then when he left, they changed things up.
Well, he called plays before he was not in Green Bay, but not he called in plays in Jacksonville.
Okay, I'm sorry. But he didn't call plays in Green Bay. Was he good in Jacksonville? Would they have a good offense?
He was the offensive coordinator when they had the number five offense in the NFL and went to the AFC championship game.
Okay. So the Bortles year. When they changed things up after he was fired, and they unlocked some things on their offense in Denver. So that was not a good look for Hackett. They did a lot more play action, I believe. Maybe got him out of the pocket a little bit more. Wilson, that is. But okay, so what do you think, Heath, for the Jets with Hackett?
I think he'll probably be average-ish. I don't think it. I think it's probably going to have a lot more to do with who the quarterback is than who the offensive coordinator is.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then, let's talk about tight ends. Top six tight ends. First question we got is from Scott. Are you guys moving TJ Hockenson ahead of Mark Andrews? So we did not do that, but you both have TJ Hockenson third. So what's the gap between Andrews and Hockenson?
I would think in terms of rounds, to me, Andrews is at best a third round pick. And I would say Hockenson is probably a fifth round pick.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a lot to find out about Mark Andrews, maybe. Let's see what kind of offense they're running and who his quarterback is. But assuming everything's the same, I found it real interesting. I wrote about Andrews this morning for my Dynasty Tight End Tiers column that should be out later today. And he averaged more fantasy points with Lamar Jackson last year than he did with Lamar Jackson the year before. He was 14.9 fantasy points per game in his fantastic 2021 year with Lamar Jackson. The games they both played at least 20% of the snaps. Last year, the games they both played at least 20% of the snaps, he was 15.4 fantasy points per game with Lamar Jackson. And I put some Twitter polls out, like, what's 15? Because I didn't want to use the name because I know some people are kind of down on him. But I do think if he can get back to that 15 fantasy points per game and the tight end landscape stays what it was last year, then he's a borderline round two pick.
Hockenson was at 12.6 points per game, and that, so was Mark Andrews.
I think you could make an adjustment to Hockenson's as well, just because I don't think he played the entire game in Week 18 and had like 4 points. But yeah, he Hockenson has not shown us the upside that Mark Andrews has over more than like one game at a time.
Right. And I really, if you take away that Giants game, his tenure with the Vikings wasn't really, it wasn't special or anything like that. But if let's take his 17 game pace.
That's not fair.
In nine games.
His first game with Washington was against Washington was good.
Nine catches for 70 yards. Is that the number two tight? Is that a guy that's moving ahead of Mark Andrews? No. I mean, he had a lot of catches.
If he had 16 fantasy points per game, then yeah.
Okay,
yes,
but
of course he'd be. If you're getting that consistently, of course.
Yeah, given that consistently, okay. But then what you just made it out to be some incredible game. It was a good game. And the thing, he had a lot of catches.
9 for 70 for a tight end is a pretty incredible game.
Yes, he had a lot of catches with the Vikings. They threw the ball a ton. He had a ton of targets. His pace in the first nine games he played with Minnesota, so not including week 18 when he played 46% of the snaps, his pace was 111 catches, 950 yards, and six touchdowns on 161 targets. That is a ton of volume and a ton of catches, but not really a lot of production to go with the targets and catches.
I would take him second if he's doing that again.
I would take him second if he's getting 161 targets. I mean, do you think he's going to do that?
Well, I mean, I think Adam Thielen might be gone. And if no one of significance is brought in return, you know, they draft somebody day two. Yes.
So put him second. So what are you waiting for? Put him second.
No, but I think we got to see. Like he said, I mean, if the Ravens have a new quarterback and it's not, you know, anybody good, then it's easy to take Hockenson second.
I mean, like, put it this for Mark Andrews, right? He's just been such a victim of being on this low pass volume team. He has had, in his last 2 years, 32%. If you look at his yards per game, Mark Andrews' yards per game, compare that to the team's passing yards per game. He's been at 32% and 30% of his team's yards per game. Travis Kelce the last 2 years, 24.2% and 25.5%. I mean, put Mark Andrews on an offense that's going to throw the ball more, and it wouldn't even be a question, right? I mean, but...
And I think they probably will be an offense that's going to throw the ball more.
I would hope so. Anyway, all right, so you guys have Hockenson third. What did I have him? I had him fifth. Why? Why did I have him fifth? I hate my rankings. Well, here's why. Because I don't think he's a special player. And I think Dallas Goedert has really shown a lot of ability. I mean, two straight years where he's been number one amongst tight ends and top six overall amongst all receivers in yards per target. And Darren Waller is four for me, and then Hockenson. And those
That's
guys...
a bad one. Waller.
Why, though? I mean, look what he did when he came back from the injury. He was playing half the snaps, and he was having good games. He's such a talented player. You know?
You don't like him on New England?
No, I'm not going to like him on New England. But, you know, his per game, PPR per game, last four seasons, sixth, second, sixth, and seventh. So it's a high floor for Waller.
And
we know what he can do.
Like, I'm not as impressed with what he did when he came back, I don't think, as you are.
Well, when you look at the snap counts, though.
3 for 48, 4 for 58, 3 for 72, 2 for 35.
Yeah, that's really good when he's playing 60% of his usual snap share. And two of those games of it stood him. Yes, he's a guy who could play 90%. He was playing like 50%.
Yeah, in the four weeks, he was 70 to 80%, and then he was 50, 70%.
Well, in the past, whatever. For a guy who was playing 50% of the snaps, you know, toward the end of the season, I thought it was impressive. But, okay.
There's so much uncertainty with him, especially even age.
Yeah, he's not that old. all right, so... Why don't you guys break down your rankings? Kelce 1, Andrews 2, Hockenson 3. Heath, what's 4, 5, 6 for you?
That's the part that is the most difficult. I think those first three for me. And, well, Kittle and I've got Kittle up there at number 4. I don't know what I had at the end of the season, but that's where I had
you had Kittle. You had Kittle 3, Hockenson 4.
Okay. So, yeah. And then trying to decide between Goddard, Pitts, and Waller for 5, 6, 7. I'll go Goddard 5, and then I'm going to go Pitts at 6.
Okay, Jamie, how about you?
I have it right now. Kelce, Andrews, Hockenson, Goddard 4, Kittle 5, Waller 6.
George Kittle. And oh, I had one more argument for Dallas Goedert.
Good.
AJ Brown and Devontae Smith did not miss a game. Imagine how much better Goddard would be if one of those guys got hurt. He's got that upside, you know, where he could get that value. If he got the same type of target volume that Hockenson got, you know, I think he'd be so much better. So he's obviously, I can't rank him based on, oh, these guys are going to get hurt, but if it did happen, he's got that upside. I don't really know that there's a scenario where,
I mean, if that's the game you want to play, what would Hockenson be if Justin Jefferson
I don't think he'd be on pace for more than 161 targets. I don't think he'd get more targets.
Well, I mean, you can't say he might not get better.
That's how I feel about it. I feel like Goddard would get a target boost if one of those guys got hurt.
What you also can't do is say that Goddard will get a target boost and remain the most efficient tight end in fantasy, because it's much easier to be efficient when you're getting the type of target volume that he is than the target volume than Hockenson is.
Well, fine, but he still would get more targets, and it would still be good, and he'd still be more efficient than Hockenson, I think.
I think he probably would. And I think he's very good. It's just, I mean, we've been kind of waiting for Dallas Goedert to be an elite tight end for 5 years now.
I'm not calling him an elite tight end. I'm just not calling Hockenson that.
No.
There's only one, maybe two. Right?
Yeah.
That's kind of how it is. All right, so
if he's getting 160 targets, he's elite.
He wasn't.
I would agree with that.
But he wasn't elite. Sure. Like, he just got 161 targets and he wasn't elite.
No, he was on pace for that. He didn't get that.
Yeah, but what he did in those games was not elite.
It was close.
Only because of the catches. 10,
from weeks 10 through 17, he was 13.9 PPR fantasy points per game. I think 15 is probably elite, so it was very close.
And he did that without an offseason to learn everything that he's going to learn.
Okay. All right, so you guys would go Hockenson 3, and then Heath goes Kittle, Goddard, Pitts. Jamie goes Goddard, Kittle, Waller, with, I guess, Pitts 7.
Where did I have Pitts? I might have had him lower than that. I have Pitts at 7, yes.
What do you make of Kittle? Because he did finish number 2 per game, 5 points behind Kelsey, but 1 point ahead of Andrews and Hockenson. Caught 11 touchdowns, which is insane for him, for any 49er, but it happened. And
I think 8 of those came with Purdy, right?
Oh, maybe. But obviously, a lot of it came without Debo. And he looked like pretty much a bust when Debo and Ayuk were, you know, it's the same story, right? So what do you make of Kittle? Does he need an injury to one of those guys? Or maybe Ayuk to not be there to be worth, you know, like a probably going to go in the 6th round or something like that?
So he said something in the post-game interview after beating the Cowboys about Purdy when he was asked about him by Aaron Andrews. And he said he does a great job of getting his playmakers the ball. And I think that's kind of a little telling because, you know, you see his targets haven't exactly spiked, but he's kind of been living in that 6 to 8 target range with Brock Purdy. And I think if he's getting consistently that, at least based on what he does when he has the ball in his hands, as long as he doesn't slow down by any stretch, and I don't know if that's going to happen next year. You know, he's so good. This team is so good at creating yards after catch. So 4 for 95 is what he gave you against Dallas. You know, he's capable of obviously being a red zone threat and scoring now, at least based on what we saw this season. So I think, you know, he's not in the conversation like he was a few years ago when he came off that huge season where it was, you know, is he the second best tight end? And that's clearly, you know, not something that he's been able to produce at consistently. But to be a top 5 guy, top 6, you know, whatever you want to say, I think that's kind of where he should be ranked. And you should hope that he stays healthy, because that's been a problem for him as well. If he stays healthy and Purdy is the quarterback, you're probably looking at pretty good production. I don't know if elite production, but good production.
What do you think, Heath?
Yeah, I just think he is maybe the best of those guys who we don't think are going to be elite, but are good, must-start, no doubt about it, tight ends.
Okay, and then Waller versus Pitts. So Heath's going with Pitts and Jamie's going with Waller at number 6. Heath, give me the Waller, give me the Pitts side.
Well, I think there are enormous question marks about both of these guys going into next year. We don't know who their quarterback's going to be. We don't know exactly what the offense around them is going to look like. But They're both talented. One of them is going to be 22 years old. One of them is going to be 31 years old. I'm going to go with the 22-year-old for now.
Jamie, give me the Waller argument.
I mean, just you've seen it from him. Like you said, Adam, he came back from the hamstring injury, and I think it was hamstring, and played fairly well on limited snaps. He did that with Stidham for two games. And so we'll see what the quarterback situation is. I would hope it's somebody better than Stidham. If it's Tom Brady, then I think that's a great asset for him to have in this offense, you know, as long as there's no Gronk coming along with him. But I think if the quarterback upgrade is significant enough that Darren Waller can bounce back, and if he stays healthy, he has a chance to be a top five tight end again. So you got to build age into it. You got to build in the fact that Davante Adams is now the alpha on that team in terms of the passing game, and we'll see if Renfrow stays or if somebody else is brought in to compete with that. Plus, you have what Josh Jacobs did as the leading rusher, so keep that in mind if he's back as well. But I think, you know, Waller to me is very similar to Kittle, where exactly what Heath said. He's not going to be elite anymore, at least I don't expect him to be, but still good enough that you'll start him and good enough that he can be a top five guy.
If you gave – okay, ready? If you gave Mark Andrews – Darren Waller, Dallas Goedert, TJ Hockenson, Kyle Pitts, and George Kittle. Basically, every tight end we've talked about today except for Kelsey. If you gave them
and
all...
No.
I said Andrews, okay. I thought I did. Yeah, so did. 2 through 7, right? So those 6 tight ends, Andrews, Goedert, Kittle, Pitts, Waller, and Hockenson. Gave them all the same amount of targets. Should we do from the same quarterback? No, the same amount of targets. Who would be first and who would be last?
Who are their quarterbacks?
The same ones they had this year. Lamar Jackson, not Mariota. Let's say Desmond Ridder. Hurts, Purdy. I can't say Derek Carr. I don't know. Jared Stidham. I don't know.
Why aren't you giving him Carr?
Because it's not going to be Carr next year.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Your best guess for next year, I guess.
Brady.
Fine, Brady.
So I would say it would be Andrews, Kittle, Goddard, Hockenson, Pitts, Waller.
Andrews, Hockenson, Goddard, Kittle, Waller.
Hockenson second. So I thought he'd be last. That's kind of my argument, is he's like the least dynamic of this group and needs a target advantage to be... to be really good in fantasy, whereas the other guys, I think...
I just went with the same way I had it ranked.
That's not fair. Wow, not even playing the game. All right, well, thank you,
that
Heath,
for
participating. I do appreciate that. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the weekend slate. We'll do some DFS. And, boy, it's a lot of fun when you get a notification from DraftKings that your winnings have been deposited, and then you remembered you did a $2 head-to-head, or $2 50-50. You're like, oh, that doesn't really do anything for me, but okay, glad I played. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Robert Half Research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Let's talk DFS. And who's your favorite stack for the weekend, Jamie?
My favorite stack for the weekend is the Bengals. I think it's going to be very popular, but Joe Burrow, based on his price, he's the third highest quarterback. And given his history against the Chiefs, he's averaging over 320 yards per game in his 3 games against them. He's got 8 touchdowns, 1 interception, had a 33-point game against them in week 13. And so just looking at him and Chase and Higgins and Boyd, you know, some combination of 2 of those guys, I think it's easy to do. And so I you know, we've seen the Chiefs during the regular season, third in fantasy points allowed to opposing quarterbacks and passing games. So I think that's the easiest stack to look at and hopefully comes through. Again, we'll be very popular though.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's definitely the best. Yeah, it's definitely the most popular stack. It's definitely the top stack of the weekend. I wonder if Mahomes is contrarian.
I think he is. Sure. Yeah.
If I could play Mahomes / Kelsey / McKinnon or Mahomes / Kelsey / Tony at half the roster rate of the Burrow Bengals stack, then I think the Chiefs stack would be my favorite. I don't really want to stack the Eagles or the 49ers.
Why not the I get the 49ers. Why not the Eagles?
The 49ers have a really good defense. And it's tougher to stack the Eagles because there's three pass catchers, and one of those guys is probably going to lose out bigly.
Devontae Smith makes me the most nervous.
Why?
Because he's probably going to see the most of Ward. We're both line up.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, sometimes they shadow with Ward. Sometimes they don't. They probably won't, you would think.
And A.J. Brown just kind of complained a little bit.
Right. Tony is the guy that makes the stack possible for the Chiefs. You know, he's 3,700 on DraftKings. He's just so much. And look, he hasn't really been that good, but he's got that potential. And he's much cheaper than most of the wide receivers that you want to play. What the hell are we going to do at running back this week?
So I have, you know, just kind of what we're talking about here. One lineup that I built already was Burrow, Chase, and Higgins, and then bringing it back with McKinnon and Tony on the other side, and then playing A.J. Brown and Dallas Goedert. So that's kind of how I rounded out. So I think McKinnon and Tony are easy to, you know, balance the Bengals stack if that's the route you want to go, because they are cheap. And I do think McKinnon bounces back. He was terrible last week for where he's been. First game without a target all season. His touchdown streak ended. He had a six-game receiving streak that started in week 13 against the Chiefs, against the Bengals. So he had 8 carries for 51 yards in that game as well. So I think, you know, people will look at Pacheco's stat line and say, okay, maybe he's the guy you want to look at. For me, I'd go the other way. I think you take out his 39-yard run. It's a miserable stat line that he had last week against the Jaguars. And he did that with Henny under center. So I think, you know, you said this, Adam, about Mahomes with his ankle injury, you know, wasn't really escaping the pocket. To me, that's how Andy Reid sort of counters this, with a lot of design plays for Jerick McKinnon, because I think those are easy routes. And I think the same thing with Tony.
Who are some, you know, bargain basement guys to help you fill out your lineup?
Tyler Boyd's one of my favorites.
All right, I'll get him in there. I'm going to have to take Jamar Chase out, though. Yeah, making a DraftKings lineup. All right, I'll put A.J. Brown in. That's fine. Yeah, I think Kadarius Toney's going to be very popular. Kadarius Toney's cheaper than Tyler Boyd on DraftKings.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Heath, how about you? Any, like, deep sleepers?
I mean, I would probably say that it's like a one of the Chiefs' non-Kelsey tight ends. Mm. They've thrown quite a few passing touchdowns this year to tight ends not named Travis Kelsey. And so maybe you could get a Noah Gray or a Blake Bell on the – he's their quarterback sneak guy. So maybe one of those guys.
Jamie, did you do rankings for this week?
I did, yes.
So how do you rank the quarterbacks?
I rank the quarterbacks. I do it based on who I think is going to get the Super Bowl. So I had Hurts 1, Burrow 2, Mahomes 3, and Purdy 4.
Okay, so
but that's more playoff challenge.
Can you guys rank them? Why don't you rank the quarterbacks just based on this week?
This week would be Hurts 1, Burrow 2, Mahomes 3, and Purdy 4. I mean, just, you know, it's the fact that Mahomes is not 100%. You know, if you tell me right now he's 100%, I would probably put him ahead of Burrow just because of the upside. You know, I think what we got from him in the AFC Championship game a year ago is probably something that's replicable, because they're going to throw a ball a lot. So he was 275, 3-2. And so I think that's something that, you know, you could look at and say is probably something that could happen again. Remember, he didn't have a good game against them in week 13. Now, they didn't have the ball very much, and he was limited, but it's one of his worst games. Bengals have not yet to allow a quarterback to go over 22 points. And they did a great job against Josh Allen last week. You know, he had a rushing touchdown to save him a little bit. That got him to 16 points. So, you know, give this defense credit. They've been fantastic all season long.
Yeah, they've had such an easy schedule, but last week kind of debunked that. They finally played a good quarterback. Heath, any thoughts on how would you rank them this week?
I don't think I see an enormous game for any of the four quarterbacks. And so for DFS purposes, I might just put a couple Purdy lineups out there.
Okay. I feel like I have a pretty decent feel for, you know, what to expect or who to play in the Bengals Chiefs. I don't know how you guys feel. And obviously, like, you want the Bengals passing game. We already talked about McKinnon is not really a Pacheco game. Kelsey's Kelsey, and then Mahomes is a gamble because of the ankle, and Tony is their emerging wide receiver. He's cheaper than Juju, whatever. Mixon, you know, let's get to Mixon real quick, and then we'll move on to San Francisco, Philadelphia. Mixon, to me, I really felt like the Bills were very hampered by the conditions. Just couldn't tackle, couldn't seem to get their footing, and Mixon took advantage of it. But the Chiefs do not have a good run defense, and he was very good against them in the first game. Do you like Joe Mixon?
He didn't play in the first game.
Oh, P. Ryan was great against them in the first game.
Yeah.
Do you like Mixon this week?
I think he has the chance to be the best running back this weekend based on his price. So you got to factor in McCaffrey with the calf injury taking on the Eagles' run defense, which we know has been spotty at times, but I think has certainly turned the corner lately, especially with Jordan Davis back. So they've allowed three total touchdowns in their last seven games. McCaffrey is the most expensive running back. He's got a 8-game scoring streak, which coincides with every game that Brock Purdy has played, in factoring the Dolphins game when he took over for Garoppolo. So he's got to have, I think, a huge game to justify that. Now, he had 17 PPR points last week, which is good, but it's not worth what he's costing you. And so I think that makes him a little bit risky. So Mixon's coming off, again, a game where you alluded to, Adam, you know, maybe the conditions helped him. His first 100-yard game since that Carolina game when he went for 154.
Right.
I think it was 154, but he had 54 fantasy points. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But it was his first 100-yard game since week 9. And the Chiefs just gave up 80 total yards and a touchdown to ETN on only 10 carries and 3 catches. So I think if you expect the Bengals to win, you're probably looking at mixing in the 15-plus carry range and probably 3 catches, which is what he's been essentially for the majority of his last 5 games. So 18-20 total touches. I mean, that's a good buy based on his cost.
All right. Heath, let's talk about the Eagles and the 49ers. The 49ers obviously have a great run defense. They're not great against wide receivers. What do you think about the Eagles passing game and Jalen Hurts in general?
I'm probably staying away from Dallas Goedert because they are great against tight ends. I like McCaffrey if he's healthy. If we think McCaffrey's okay, even last week, like Saquon Barkley only had 9 carries against the Eagles, but he turned him into 61 yards.
Right.
I don't think they're going to stop Christian McCaffrey if he's okay. And I think that the Shanahan has to know that the path to winning this game is having success on the ground. I would prefer, I think, A.J. Brown over Devontae Smith and Ayuk over Deebo Samuel.
A.J. Brown.
And Kittle over.
Why Ayuk over Deebo?
I'm just not 100% sure about Debo's health.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get some lineups then. Let's do it.
I'll go last.
Okay. Jamie, what do you have? FanDuel, DraftKings, both?
Well, I just gave you my DraftKings one. I'll give you my FanDuel one.
Okay.
So I'm going with Hurts at quarterback. I'm playing the same running backs in both lineups that I'm putting on the site. I'll play a few different. I'll play a McCaffrey lineup. I'll play some other combinations as well, but Mixon and McKinnon in this lineup as well. A.J. Brown, T. Higgins, and Kadarius Toney. I will play Goddard because I don't think the 49ers are particularly that great against tight ends, especially when they're getting featured. And then Tyler Boyd at flex, and I'm just going to play the Bengals defense across the board because if Mahomes is not Mahomes, you get some turnovers, and that's always a good thing for the cost.
Okay, so who is your quarterback?
Jalen Hurts,
okay.
Mixon and McKinnon at running back.
Yeah.
A.J. Brown, T. Higgins, Kadarius Toney at receiver. Goddard at tight end, Tyler Boyd at flex, and the Bengals DST.
Yeah, no, we have almost the same FanDuel lineup, except you go Hurts and A.J. Brown. I go Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. But I also have Mixon and McKinnon. I also have Higgins and Kadarius Toney. I also have Dallas Goedert. I couldn't put any more Bengals in, unfortunately, so I went with the 49ers DST, and I wanted Tyler Boyd at flex. Instead, I have Marquez Valdez-Scantling, which I don't like so much, but you got to find some inexpensive player there. So Jamie,
it's a tricky week.
Certainly. Jamie and I both have Mixon, McKinnon, Higgins, and Toney, and Goddard in our FanDuel lineup. Difference is I have Burrow and Chase. He has Hurts and A.J. Brown. He He has the Bengals DST. I have the Niners. He has Tyler Boyd. I have MVS. Heath, what do you have?
Nothing that I like so far. But right now I've got a Purdy-McCaffrey lineup with McKinnon and Mixon as well. Mixon's in the flex. I've got T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, and Quez Watkins at wide receiver, Kelsey at tight end, and the 49ers defense.
Yeah, it's interesting, Jamie. I wanted to get Kelsey in there. I did in my DraftKings lineup. But I don't know how you felt. Like, you went Goddard, I went Goddard, Heath went Kelsey. We all have Mixon and McKinnon. And that's an interesting Purdy McCaffrey. Okay. All right. Anyway, you probably don't have a DraftKings lineup yet, right, Heath?
I do not.
Okay. My DraftKings lineup, I did it while you were talking about making a Chiefs stack earlier. So I went Mahomes, McKinnon, and Kelsey. I have Higgins and Mixon. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I have Tony too. Mahomes, McKinnon, Tony, Kelsey. So four Chiefs. Mixon as my other running back. AJ Brown, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Eagles DST. So I have a lot of Chiefs and Bengals. I have...
That's my favorite one I've heard yet.
Okay. Mahomes, McKinnon, Mixon, AJ Brown,
like
Higgins, Tony.
No way.
Kelsey, Tyler Boyd, and the Eagles.
But you don't have as many, like, just guys that we don't actually want to play, but we're trying to fit somebody in.
I don't have any other... Tyler Boyd would be the one.
Right.
There's going to be somebody random. You know, Quez Watkins type of guy, Juwan Jennings type of guy. Somebody's going to have a player or two that... you know, sways this for someone, because that's just the nature of how this goes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
I
that's
mean,
it.
You know, you could be really creative and play a Chad Henne lineup and see, you know, Mahomes leaves the game.
No, don't even joke about that. No, you're right. I think we have a question from Apple Podcasts. Let me just look that up real quick here, because if you are going to be nice enough to leave us a nice 5-star review... on Apple Podcasts, which you can still do. Tell everybody why you like our show. You can leave us a question and we'll answer it. Did I kill enough time yet? Come on, load. Load. PC load letter. All right, here we go. Keeper question from Wake Up 23. Full PPR, 10-team league, 2 quarterbacks, 3 receivers, 2 flex, 2 running back. We need to pick 2 keepers here. Brees Hall, Josh Allen, remember it's 10 teams and it's 2 quarterbacks. Brees Hall, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Justin Jefferson, and CeeDee Lamb. Wow, pick the 2 of those. Ooh. The quarterbacks?
Of course.
3 receivers and 2 flex and PPR. You're going to give
you
up Justin Jefferson?
Top 3 quarterbacks there. Good luck to everybody else in your league and just go get everything else you need.
All right. Heath, what do you think?
It was Josh Allen and who?
Jalen Hurts, and there's also Justin. There's also Justin Jefferson, though.
Yeah, I think my first 3 picks would be Hurts versus Jefferson is the one I'm not sure of, but Allen for sure.
Okay. All right.
And you got to know how your league values quarterbacks. Like, I'm in a 2 quarterback league where maybe 1 quarterback gets taken in the first round still. So you got to know how your league values quarterbacks. But
yeah. Right, that's my concern with taking Hurts, because it's 3 receivers with 2 flexes and it's PPR. I wonder how fast the wide receivers go off the board. And
is it 4 per pass touchdown or 6?
Not sure.
Yeah.
And do we lose the picks in the first round by keeping those guys?
Yes. Yeah.
So he doesn't have a pick until round 3.
Correct. But nobody does, right?
Well, it depends. Everybody's losing their first 2 picks, no matter what.
It seems that way. Since keepers count for round 1 and 2, maybe you don't have to.
So he does have a first round pick, basically, because everybody has to do that.
Right. Yeah. So he may be picking first, for all we know.
He said that going into last season, he kept Josh Allen and Justin Jefferson, and he won the championship. He's thinking about keeping Lamb and Jefferson. Don't do that. Definitely take one of the quarterbacks.
See, his point, though, if it's 4 points for passing touchdowns and quarterbacks are not as valuable, even though it's 2 QB league.
No, but those guys are even better than most of the other quarterbacks.
No, I would agree. Yeah. But, you know, if the position is extremely devalued, then maybe you don't keep one of them.
This makes me think of that time, Adam. Remember when you said that Patrick Mahomes was less valuable in 2 quarterback leagues?
Every quarterback is less valuable in 2 quarterback leagues, is what I was saying.
Yes,
not just Mahomes.
We drafted them much earlier.
But they all get drafted much. all right. all right. It took 41 minutes for Heath to completely fluster me, but it happened. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy the games. We will talk to you Monday with a recap. We'll get you set for the Super Bowl next time we talk. For Jamie and Heath and Thomas, I'm Adam.
I think we'll have a new head coach hire by then?
No.
None?
By when? By Monday or by the Super Bowl?
By Monday.
I'm going to say no.
Will Daniel Jones or Saquon Barkley have a new contract by then?
No, definitely not.
Will Derek Carr be traded by then?
There's not going to be one single interesting thing that happens in football before Monday, other than the games.
Some team will try and steal the spotlight and hire Sean Payton.
I thought he's going back to TV, right? Oh. Could they put more people in that Fox studio, by the way? Like, they need a bigger desk.
I hear you're hired, by the way. Oh, this is your last CBS show.
If you wanted to wait and see if the Chargers would give Brandon Staley more than one more year.
Okay.
I'll wait for that Chargers show.
All right, everybody. We'll talk to you later.
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.